We present Condition Purple by Peter Turnbull, adapted for radio by Stephen Mulrine. The police from Glasgow's P Division are investigating the murder of a girl called Stephanie Craigellachie. They're looking for someone called Dino, whose name is tattooed on Stephanie's groin. Condition Purple.
Can I help you, sir?
Looking for business.
Professor, you got a light, pal.
Looking for trade, sir.
Looking for business, sir.
Something special. Can I help you?
Can't make this out, Ray. This word here.
Groin.
She had a tattoo in her groin, sir.
Got to keep it legible for the girls in the typing pool, Ray.
Indeed, sir.
Right, Ray, let's kick it around a bit, shall we? She was murdered where she was found. Cause of death was the obvious wound. She was a prostitute and a heroin addict. She had a flat with a none-too-shocked girlfriend and was known to be frightened of a stockily built man with a flash car. She also has an unusual tattoo which indicates a present or past involvement with somebody called Dino. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, sir. That's pretty well it.
So, who's in today?
Well, King and Montgomery are on day shift this week. Abernethy is on back shift.
With yourself on the graveyard shift for your sins, Ray. Well, I won't keep you much longer. The way I see it is that we need to search Stephanie Craigellachie's flat, find a home address in Bear's Den, notify next of kin. Abernethy can talk to girls in the street, appeal for witnesses. Anything else?
Find Dino?
Of course. Dino. And whoever owns the fancy car. They may turn out to be one and the same.
Indeed, sir.
I'll ask Montgomery to pull his snout. Monday morning, whatever his name is.
Tuesday noon. Montgomery told me his real name once, but I can't recall it.
Oh, well, it's been useful before. Meanwhile, what about the girl's possessions, handbag and so on?
They're in store, sir.
I see. Well, that'll be King's first job, then, while Montgomery's contacting his snout.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, thanks. See you at the handover tomorrow morning.
Good day, sir.
Owen Ray, get a decent sleep. You look terrible.
Fine.
Yes? Jack, hello. Oh, it's good to hear you.
Tony's usually a female officer's with you when you search a woman's room.
Only if there's a lady involved. You sure you don't have a key?
Sure, I'm sure.
That'll break cleanly.
Okay.
No wonder she kept it locked.
Jesus! I've never been in here before. Never let me in. Wonder what she did with her money, though. Probably stashed it away. There'll be a building society passbook somewhere. I reckon if we look for it. Do you want me to stand in the chest of drawers?
No. We want you to stay in the kitchen. Just keep out the room.
I'll check this.
All right. God, you must have wanted a wee flat in the south side pretty bad to live like this. Wonder why she didn't spend it on herself, I mean. Even a wee bit of luxury.
She spent herself all right.
What do you mean she was pulling down hundreds? What did she do with it? I mean, where did she put it all?
And this, maybe.
A syringe.
Handle with care, Richard. She's a category one risk.
Did what?
AIDS. She was doing heroin.
I never knew.
Now, maybe you just didn't want to know. Girl walks the street 7 nights a week, nothing to show for it. Only one thing drives a girl to do that, Carmen. It's not a 3 apartment in Shawlands. She was spending it all on junk.
She was a really nice girl, you know. Brought a cat home once, found it in the gutter with his legs smashed.
Yeah.
And she took it to people's expenses for sick animals, you know. Walked the whole way there. Stephanie was like that. She just kept telling me she was saving up for a flat.
You ever see her arms?
Her arms, no. She liked long sleeve things, even in this weather.
That didn't occur to you she might be covering herself up?
No.
So, been on the street yourself then?
No. Well, yes, yeah, sometimes. Just when I needed the money.
See it as a way of life?
Well, I'll just do some growing up first, Karen. You're not ready for the street.
Nobody ever offered you anything? You know, to make you feel good?
No.
Not yet. Well, there's always somebody to help you out if you go on the streets.
I wouldn't take anything from a strange man.
A comedian.
It's not strange men, Cam. It's men or women you've known a long time. People you think are your mates. I'll offer you a shortcut to the good life. Well, take a good look at it.
Hey, I don't need a sermon.
So tell us some more about Stephanie. Did you ever mention anybody called Dino?
Dino? Mentioned him a lot. No, she didn't. What I mean is she thought a lot of him. Didn't say much about him, but you could tell she liked him.
Any idea of his identity?
He was just some guy.
You can do better than that.
Well, I got the impression he'd a bit of money. Like, I mind the time she used to come back early. She said she'd met Dino, we'd taken her from you, given her enough cash to keep her off the streets the rest of the night. Look, maybe you ought to go and talk to the other girls. They know more than me.
Apparently so. If you lived with her for months and still didn't know she was a smackhead, you don't know as much, do you? So, how often did you meet Dino?
Once a fortnight, maybe. Once a week. I don't know.
You said she'd no other friends.
Not as far as...
Not as far as you know.
So, where did Stephanie come from, Karen? Bear's Den's a big place.
She didn't talk about her people. Just Bear's Den. Where even the muggers say please. I wouldn't know about that. I'm from Postle. Where they take the pavements in at night, okay?
Aye, sure. There's a recent record, I think. You mean the last year it was filled in up in Blackfield Square?
Yes, sir.
Aye, so?
So? Have you heard anything?
No. It's not really my part of town, Mr. Montgomery. You know that.
Come on, Tuesday. We're interested in a character called Dino. Ring any bells?
No. Never heard him.
Not worth another drink, then, is it?
Oh, when you see that, when you see that. I did hear something.
Oh?
Aye.
Information first, Tuesday. Drink later, if it's worth it.
Do you ever hear of the Black Team?
No.
No kidding?
Come on, Tuesday. I'm not a fish at the end of a line. Stop playing games or you get bounced.
What for?
For unpaid fines. Have you any idea the amount of outstanding warrants on you?
Okay. The Black Team. It's women. All women. They're too old to work the street anymore, so they jump young girls at the end of the night, roll them for tatons. Sometimes they don't have to roll them, just walk up and show them a knife. Any smart girl will give up her wage. She can either work an extra hour or so and make up the loss. So, she's late getting to her bed, but at least she can still work, you know what I mean? You know what women can do to each other.
And this is the Black Team?
That's it, Mr. Montgomery.
I just can't see a team of women going down the hill knocking over all the girls.
No, they're getting picked up and dropped off all the time. You see, a trick brings a girl back to the street in his car. She steps out his motor and the next minute, before she knows what's hit her, the Black Team have got her up against the wall. I'd say that was worth a drink, Mr. Montgomery.
Aye, maybe.
I'd say that was worth a wee goldie.
Yeah,
and a pint of Harry while you're there, eh?
Hang on a second, pal. Hey, Jim, can you read? See the notice? If you've got nothing to do, don't do it here. Police.
Just a few questions. Yeah, I wonder if you'd take a look at this photograph.
Let's see it.
You recognise the tattoo?
No. I wouldn't do anything like this. Don't know whether you'd call this genitalia or no, but it's close enough. Oh, no, I wouldn't do this. The same goes for any reputable artist. It's got to be the work of a scratcher.
A scratcher?
Aye, a cowboy. You get them in every business. See, it's blurred. Soft at the edges. Spacing's poor. The sort of things school kids do to each other with pins. Do you mind if I carry on here?
No, go ahead.
You take a pin, a ball of cotton wool and ordinary ink. Soak a wad of cotton wool in the ink, wrap it around the point of the pin and tap it into the skin. It's crude, but it works. And it won't wash off.
And this tattoo's the work of a scratcher?
Oh, aye, aye. You want AIDS or hepatitis B, that's where they go. See me. I use clean needles, clean tubes, fresh ink, fresh pair of surgical gloves with every client. That's what that costs. I also test for pigmentation, Alan.
Yes, yes. Hey, listen, tell me. How long would a tattoo like this take to apply?
Oh, 2 hours, maybe 3.
Oh, as long as that?
Aye. I'll tell you something else. This would have been very uncomfortable.
Could it have been self-inflicted?
Well, can't see it. Too painful. It's more like she lay back, bit on the bullet, thought of Scotland, and let somebody, maybe Dino, go to work on her. Anyway, if you don't mind, I need to concentrate here.
Aye, sure. Do you happen to know of any scratcher?
Look, anybody with a pin and a wad of cotton wool's a scratcher, period. There's a guy just off London Road's got a sign up in his window, tattoos done.
Right, thanks. I'll try there.
If you want a decent job done.
The squad's still at the site, sir, but I think this is what we're after.
Certainly looks like it. Take a seat.
Thanks, sir.
Have you had a look at the contents yet?
No, sir. Brought it straight in as soon as I saw her name inside. That was a good idea, sir, to do a sweep behind the fence.
Yes, well, it occurred to me she might have tossed the money over prior to the attack. And if she did that, she might have thrown something else, which could be of use to us. So, what have we got? Mm-hmm. I'd say there was a couple of £100 here, wouldn't you? You better count it,
sir.
Looks like your black team missed Stephanie's wedge. That's who it was. Oh, this is interesting. We didn't already know. Heroin bag. Empty. Maybe there'll be enough prints on it to nail us the plier.
£185, sir. Mostly tens.
Hmm. And a letter. One page, one side. Father in hospital. What's this? Now out. Doubt if you'd be interested anyway, but I'm telling you just the same. Signed, Mother. And an address. 17 Sterling Way, Bears Den. Breakthrough.
Want me to get onto it, sir?
Yes, please. It's not a two-hander. Do the formal identification number. See what you can dig up. It's never pleasant, but it's got to be done.
Right, sir.
Oh, Montgomery. Just a minute.
Sir?
I think there's something else here.
Inside the lining.
Yeah. Huh. One photograph. The charming couple.
That isn't Stephanie, sir.
No. And that's not a Robin Reliant. Black Mercedes. Smart but casual with it. Is he wearing a medallion, would you say?
It's possible, sir. I wonder who the gang is.
Well, that's easy. Tony, according to this. And I think Ray Sussett will recognise him. If he's conformed. That is where experience counts. Right, Montgomery?
Yes, sir.
And with a bit of magnification, we might just manage to identify that pub. I think we have a breakthrough here, Montgomery. On all fronts.
Oh, sure, I'd tattoo them anywhere. If they want it, they get it. Any design, anywhere. If they come in steaming drunk and want a pink butterfly put in the middle of their forehead, then they get it. If they don't think it was such a great idea in the cold light of day, well, that's their problem.
But you didn't do this one.
You think I'd forget a job like this? Lucky old Dino, eh?
I've been in this game long.
6 months. Well, I've been okay. Used to drive a taxi for the man. Before that, I was a steel erector. I fancied going it alone there, so I bought this equipment second hand and set myself up.
No training?
Well, practiced in Normandy's for a week, then open for business.
Keeping it clean, I hope.
Oh, aye, aye.
Our environmental health could shut you down if they don't like what they see.
Oh, I give the place a good wash, doing with disinfectant every once in a while.
Every once in a while?
Aye, aye.
Aye. So tell me, if you didn't do this, who might have?
That blur, doesn't it? The letters, I mean, you're the... What a graph. It's as clear as daylight. You could be running off a copy.
No chance.
Well, as I was saying, I've given them tattoos in some funny places, Jim, but never there. However, you could try Fat Charlie. He's got a place the next street. Looks a bit like a scrapyard. So I've got to get to die on fence.
But they get worse.
I mean, do you see it?
She was our foster daughter.
Our only one.
Difficult. She was always so selfish.
Very selfish.
So she grew up here?
Yes.
That's right.
How long did she live with you?
We rescued her from a children's home when she was 10 years old. An awful place full of yelling children. We brought her here. It was a Christian duty.
Our duty. Milk and sugar, Mr. Montgomery?
No, thanks. It will be necessary for one of you to attend the mortuary to identify the body.
I'll do that.
My husband will do it.
She was stabbed. Just to warn you, there'll be a wound on the neck which might be visible. Usually they just expose the face.
We wondered when you were going to tell us how she died.
Well, now you know. Mrs. Keyes, how much do you know about Stephanie's lifestyle?
Very little.
Ever met any of her friends? We're particularly keen to trace a man called Dino.
Why?
Did Stephanie mention a Dino?
Not at all.
Never.
Do you know where she lived?
We have her address.
In Kelvin Bridge.
That's not what I meant. Did you ever visit her?
No.
No?
I think you'd have found it a bit different from your home here. She didn't have a great deal of money.
She told us she was unemployed.
She was, in a sense. She was drawing unemployment benefit. She was also bringing in more money in a week than I do.
Mr. Montgomery, you're not suggesting Stephanie was... She wasn't...
A prostitute? I'm afraid so.
Oh, how could she do this to us? How could she do this?
We did what we could for her, Olive. Nobody can say you didn't. You've upset my wife.
Mr. Keyes, do you think I might see Stephanie's room?
Is that necessary? Perfectly adequate, Mr. Montgomery. And you can see how she kept it. She was a difficult, wayward child, but we gave her a good home and did our duty by her.
When did she leave home?
At 16.
16?
Well, she was never really happy in Bearsden. She came from Postle Park, if you see what I mean.
No, I don't.
Well, there is a social gap. Stephanie never seemed to adjust to our ways. She was found by the police in a house in Postle Park when she was 7. Her parents had just left her there, turned the key and walked away. Never seen again. She was in the house for 2 days, no food, just tap water. She had 3 years in a children's home then. Swearing like a trooper when she came to us. We managed to knock off a few rough edges, but not well.
Edges?
Oh, it was an uphill struggle. She wore Mrs. Keyes into the ground. No table manners, never wiped her feet, did nothing unless she was forced to.
She must have spent a lot of time shut up here. Notes and crosses. The walls covered in them.
That's typical, I'm afraid. Stephanie had no respect for other people's property.
A bare room. You don't have children of your own, Mr. Keyes?
No, we can't.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's one of those things we've had to learn to live with. Stephanie was a challenge, I suppose. More of a challenge than we bargained for. If we'd been able to have her when she was younger, it would have been easier, but by the time we got her, she was set in her ways, untidy, slovenly. She was a very obstinate girl.
So, what do you do, Mr. Keyes?
What do you mean?
What's your occupation?
Is that any of your business?
Yes, it is.
I have private means.
Meaning?
I made what you might call a killing on the stock exchange quite a few years ago now. I don't need to work. Oh, Olive. I think Mr. Montgomery's finished.
Almost.
We haven't touched a room, you know, in case he might wish to return.
Did you return? Ever?
Not for any length of time.
A few days at the most.
To pick things up.
Or drop things off.
Our door was never closed to us.
Never.
Ray.
Hi.
I expected you this morning. You're late.
I know. Oh, I just felt so tired when I got in. I flaked out. Couldn't even phone.
I thought that's what had happened. You're forgiven, old Sussex. I'm just about to put on some coffee. Have you eaten?
Well, I might have, if somebody hadn't raided my shelf in the fridge. Teeth mats in the Scottish cheddar, the last tea bag gone. Oh. I'm too old for beds at Life Elka.
You've had nothing.
I did raid somebody else's coffee jar.
So it's late breakfast. Bacon and eggs? And some real coffee.
Lovely.
So how did the handover go?
Fine. Okay. Donoghue's putting Montgomery onto his snout, see if he's heard anything. I think they'll be going back to the girl's flat. Usual routine. Usual grind.
Are you feeling all right, Leafia? Ray?
Well, fine. I came over via Rutherglen. Stopped at the house.
Oh.
Yes. I had to pick up some clothes for the summer. More plastic bags.
Turn off the stereo if you want, Ray.
No, it's nice. What is it?
Mozart. So was your wife at home?
Uh-huh. And my son. Yes, she's done a great job on him. First class.
I'm sorry, Ray. Ray, come here. It won't be long now, I promise.
You mean breakfast?
Oh, stumbling.
She doesn't look too happy. She's dead. Oh, well, in that case, I dare say she wouldn't be happy. What was her name again?
Stephanie Craigellachie. You sure you haven't seen her?
Positive. She's a nice-looking girl. I think I'd have remembered her if she'd come in when I was on. I work in the square, did she, eh?
That's right.
What, insurance company, a bank or something?
The street. She worked the street.
Oh, then she definitely wouldn't come in here. Definitely not. Was she the girl that was murdered the other night?
Last night, yes. Take a hard line, do you?
Oh, you have to, Inspector. Of course, they come in here just the same. Expensive ones, anyway. They eat quick, though. That's what gives them away. A sort of used look. And even if they have good clothes, they don't know how to wear them. You know what I mean? They stick out like a...
Vice girls in a wine bar.
Yeah. Well, can I fix you a drink, Inspector?
Thanks. I'd like a tonic. From the bottle, if you don't mind.
Ice and lemon.
Please.
No, I don't want this place to become a pickup parlour.
So, you haven't seen Stephanie Craigellachie? What about this girl? Or the guy?
I certainly recognise the premises.
What about the couple?
Yeah, I've seen them. And not so long ago either. A week, maybe 2 weeks. They had a meal. She on the game as well, this lassie.
We don't know.
Oh, well, I remember then. She was that thin. She was built like a racing snake. But she was no anorexic. No, she shoveled her food down like there was no tomorrow's. Tossed her knife and fork on the plate when she'd finished, instead of placing them, you know. Mm. She was well dressed, though. Brown outfit. Went with her hair.
What was he like?
Quite small. Sort of swagger when he walked.
A hard man.
He might have fancied himself as one. Certainly wasn't a businessman. Black shirt. Some sort of gold gong round his neck. Good head of hair for a man of his age. I'd put him at 50.
50?
Easy. Looked as if he'd a few chunks carved out him as well. But he can't have taken too many second prizes.
I'm surprised you served him.
Oh, they were in the serve before I properly clocked them. People like that pay my mortgage, whether I like them or not, but too many of them when the place gets seedy. That's when the downward spiral starts. Maybe I could turn over more money if I let the place get seedy in a flash sort of way, but I'm a family man and I've got my beers to think about.
The bears?
My wains. The wife's blonde, so it's Golden Ox and the Three Bears. Get it? Anyway, one of these days they'll want to know what sort of gaff their dad runs, and I'll have to look them in the eye. I've got to mind that day.
Very wise.
Are you a family man, sir?
Two. One of each. Not started secondary yet.
Oh, that's a nice age.
Yes. Old enough to talk to, young enough to need you. So, anyway, this guy and the woman, you just saw them the once?
Aye.
About 2 weeks ago?
Aye, I think so.
You never saw them separately?
I know. The only reason I clicked them when I saw the photograph is that I remember them like that, as a couple. Him swaggering in, fighting the years, and her younger and thinner and hungry. It stuck in my mind. Oh, and he bought a cigar.
A cigar?
Yeah, I remember. I get cynical at times, you know. I mind looking at him and wondering which hole in his face he was going to stick the cigar.
What do you mean?
Well, he'd a choice between his mouth and two or three others where a blade had torn chunks away. It doesn't show in the photograph, but his face was like the surface of the moon.
Oh, sounds like somebody we should know. Maybe you'll let us know if they come in again. Either as a pair or singly.
Sure. Anything to be public-spirited. Mind how you go.
Oh, incidentally, you didn't happen to overhear the conversation. Possibly catch his name.
No, sorry.
What about the name Dino? Does that mean anything to you?
Dino? No. Don't know no Dino.
Dino, where are you going?
Well,
why don't you answer?
Out! I'm going out!
Well, why don't you take the dog out? Could take Sam for a walk. Well, that's not much to ask. Could pay the papers too while you're out. You haven't paid last week's meal. Mr. Lenny's always too polite to ask. And it can't be easy for him these days.
I can't breathe. I can't think.
And what about all those files in the living room? You're not just leaving there, are you, Dino?
I've got to get out.
You said you'd work in the study. You've got the living room a mess now with all these files.
I've got to see her.
Look, you could tidy up before you take Sam out. He needs some exercise.
Oh, God, where is she? Where is she?
Dino? Are you listening to me? Dino? Where are you going?
In Condition Purple, the cast was as follows. Detective Chief Inspector Donahue was played by Martin Cochran. Detective Sergeant Ray Sussock by Ralph Rieck. Karen, Gailey Runciman. Detective Constable King, John Buick. Detective Constable Montgomery, Frank Gallagher. Tuesday Noon, Alex McAvoy. Mr. Keyes, Robert Trotter. Mrs. Keyes, Kay Galley. WPC Elka Willems, Anne Louise Ross. And Dino by Alexander Morton. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Condition Purple was written by Peter Turnbull, adapted for radio by Stephen Mulrine, and produced in our Glasgow studios by Hamish Wilson.